He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. We'll get into why I played that song here in a second, but first, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, as always, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the NBA Finals and the U.S. Open this weekend. And starting today, actually, located in 19 Ty Lane on MSU's, or right by MSU's campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman sports authority. Very little sports to talk about locally. This week, there's a ton of sports to talk about, but not a lot of local action going on this week. But we will go over. We have a great interview with Dane Fletcher from the Pitt Training Facility. Bozeman boys win the All Sports Trophy, All-Star sweep in basketball as well in high school. And we look at the O-line for the Cats going into next week. But first, normally start with national news. I'm going to start with the concert that I went to this last week. The reason I was gone and didn't have a show last week is because on Thursday, my wife and I drove the quick trip down. It was a lot longer on the way back, but we'll get into that in a minute. Quick trip down to Salt Lake and saw New Kids on the Block, Salt and Peppa, Naughty by Nature, Tiffany, and Debbie Gibson. So basically, my 12-year-old self would have mind would have exploded seeing all those bands. Went down with my wife. We had a blast down in Salt Lake. It's an interesting town. There's a lot of weird little rules that I forgot about when it comes to having adult beverages and having to eat a lot more than I normally would, even though I am a fat guy. You have to eat a lot more if you want to have a beer or two while you're down there. But first for the concert, it was awesome. It was packed. It was at the Vivint Center, a packed crowd. My guess is 99% of it was women. I came back and I was talking to a buddy of mine about the show the other night, and I was having a drink with him, and the waitress looked over and said, "Oh, my mom went to that show." So that made me feel even older as well. And it was an older crowd. It was in the probably mid to late 40s type of crowd. And when you hear a crowd cheer for something, normally it's a mix of men and women. It's kind of a mid-ranged cheer, or the notes on it is kind of a mid-range. This was a much higher range screaming type of sound. Anytime NKOTB would come back on the stage or Debbie Gibson would get up there and sing. I did feel bad for Tiffany. I think she only had like one or two hits. I'll play one of them here in a little bit. But she didn't have a ton of hits, and they brought her out for like one song, and then she was gone for pretty much the rest of the concert. It's like a two-hour concert. And then she came into the very, very end and did one more song as she walked through the crowd. So it was a very cool thing. I felt bad for her. They actually gave her a little tribute, like, "We thank you very much, Tiffany. You're the reason why NKOTB is around and all these other bands." It seemed more like a petty thank you than anything, but that's just me. So it was a great trip. Thank you to my wife. She bought it for me and for us, really for her. Christmas, it was my Christmas present / anniversary present. We have our anniversary coming up here in less than a week. And so that was kind of the big thing that we got for Christmas this year. And we went down this last weekend and it was well worth it. So thank you very much, wife. Love you very much for doing that. It was a blast. So that's why I was gone last week. But now into sports. Of course, we start with national news. In the NHL, St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup last night, defeating a heavily favored, and when I say heavily, I mean heavily, Boston Bruins destroyed everyone all year. But they couldn't get the Stanley Cup as the Blues won 4-1 last night. The Blues were the worst team in the NHL as of January 2nd. So think that through. That's halfway mark of the NHL season. They were the worst team in the NHL. So what do? They fired their coach. They brought in some rookie goaltender who was fourth string on the depth chart, made a couple little changes, and all of a sudden they started winning. And you start to win, and this is, you got to look at this in a lot of ways when it comes to other sports as well. They started that winning. They didn't let it get down, and so that was really good to see from them. So they win. On the road, they are the winningest this year. They won the most road games in playoffs in playoff history. This is also the first Stanley Cup for the Blues in their 52-year history. The Blues were part of the next six, as they call it, that entered the second phase of the NHL expansion. They had the first six or eight or whatever it was, and then they brought in this next six, and they've expanded a lot since then. But they were there from almost the very beginning. So here's some takeaways from last night. First off, there's nothing better in sports than a game seven. And hockey, of any of those game sevens, hockey is the best. I actually watched most of that game. I was laying down in bed because I was tired, but I watched the whole game. The energy, the speed, the athleticism that was out there. You could tell the Blues wanted it. You could tell Boston wanted it. Boston outshot the Blues like crazy. It was only the third time a winning goalkeeper has stopped more than 30 shots in a game. And so you could tell that Boston really wanted this. The Blues hung in there. Their goaltender was a stud. And again, he was a rookie. So that was really, really impressive to see. The second thing I took away from it, and I said it earlier, the fans should never give up on a team. We talk about MSU a lot and Bozeman High and all that kind of stuff. Bozeman High normally dominates. We'll get into that in a little bit as well. Their domination when it came to this year's sports overall. But the Cats last year went through a tough phase. They lost, I believe it was two out of three games right in the middle. They lost to Eastern Washington, then won at home, then had to go on the road and lost to Weber in a close game, one that they were ahead of, and then Weber came back. And both Eastern Washington and Weber are very, very good teams, so it's nothing to go down on. But you lose two out of three, and you kind of go, wow, it's tough losing those two. Are we going to be able to make it in the playoffs? Can we turn that around? And the Cats did. They ended up getting into the second round of the playoffs. Fans kind of got down on the Cats a little bit. Not a ton. Grizzly fans are renowned for this, for getting down on their team after one loss, fire the coach, get rid of the quarterback, everything else. But it just shows you don't give up on that team. It's a long season, especially in the NHL. We've got 80-some games. It's a long season. Halfway through, if you're the worst team, you could probably look at, well, maybe we can claw our way back up and at least try for the playoffs. They made the playoffs barely and then went through it and just destroyed teams as they were going. So it just shows you that nothing is ever over until it's over, as Rocky would say. All-star sweep, or excuse me, the last thing is Boston can't win everything. Now, I know there's Bruins fans out there, and any team doesn't like to lose. It's kind of like North Dakota State. All their fans are great fans, probably, and we don't want to see them lose, but we're ready for them to lose. Boston won, the Patriots won, the Boston Red Sox won, the Celtics were pretty good, and then Kyrie Irving started playing, and then they lost again. But Boston can't win at everything, and it looked like for a little while they were going to win every major sport. So losing this to Boston in general fans, relax. New kids on the block, relax. You're from Boston. It happens. You have to go through those bad times as well. And as Boston fans, they haven't had a lot of it. Once the curse was broken from the Red Sox, they went and they've won like four since then. Patriots sucked forever, and now they've won every Super Bowl in the last 50 years, it seems like. So you're going to have your losses. Boston Bruins, this one's yours. Boston, take it like men and women and move on. But it's nice to see another team win every once in a while, in a different city win. And remember, St. Louis just lost their football team. The St. Louis Rams were almost everything to that city, and they moved to LA, and now they're a great franchise down in LA. They weren't that bad when they were in St. Louis. So they lost that. So this is a nice little pickup for St. Louis and everyone over there. The Conn Smythe Trophy, by the way, went to Ryan O'Reilly, who scored a goal in each of the last four games of the Stanley Cup Final. This is the first time anyone has done that since Wayne Gretzky did it, the great one, way back in the day. And again, it's not the Stanley Cup Finals. It's just the Stanley Cup Final, which is weird because it's seven games, but it's so final. Moving on to PGA news, the U.S. Open starts today at Pebble Beach. Dustin Johnson is the favorite at 7-1. Some of the other big names, Brooks Koepka is 8-1. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are tied at 10-1 odds to win it. I don't think Tiger should be that high, but I'll get into that. Jordan Spieth, 16-1. Ricky Fowler, 20-1. Jason Day, John Rahm, and Justin Rose, and also Adam Scott, all at 25-1. So is Justin Thomas. Phil Mickelson at 30-1, and Matt Kuchar at 40-1. Those are your main players in it, and their odds to win it. First, I understand the love fest for Tiger Woods. He was great way back in the day. Nobody could beat him, but he hasn't won anything other than the Masters in years. And sure, the Masters was great, but how do you put him ahead of Rory Spieth, Justin Thomas? I just don't get that yet. Sure, he won the Masters, but he missed the cut in the one right before the Masters, and he missed the cut right after the Masters. And Rory just came off of a huge win at the Canadian Open where he blew out the field. So I would have him more down in the 25 to 30 to 1 range. I'll still, every tournament he plays in, this is Tiger Woods, I would take the field over him in a heartbeat. That was one of the main bets going into this as well, is him versus the field, and I'd take the field anytime. Nick Taylor update, he did finish 22nd last week in the Canadian Open. He finished Friday tied for second, but just struggled down the weekend. He's at home. There's a lot of pressure there trying to play for your fans and your city. He did get to throw out. He actually chipped the first pitch of a Toronto Blue Jays game. So there are some perks with playing in the PGA, even if you're not one of the top players. So struggled a little bit, but he is in the Open right now. Currently, I'm not even going to mention how he's doing because it's not that great. But right now, the leader final round, or the final four today right now, is Scott Piercy. He's at minus four. Ricky Fowler's at minus four through 14. John Rahm is at minus three through 14. Rory, like we said, is three minus three through 14 as well. Tiger Woods and a lot of the big names don't tee off until this afternoon, so we'll have updates next week on how that fared. So hopefully Nick can turn it around here in the second round, because he's not doing that great so far today. All right, moving on to NBA news. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tonight in Golden State as the Toronto Raptors lead 3-2 in the series. Tip-off tonight is scheduled for 7 o'clock Mountain Time. A lot of storylines in this game. Of course, Kevin Durant went out with Achilles. Whose fault is it? Is it not anybody's fault? I don't think it's anybody's, but he is out at least a year. This puts all the pressure back on Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry. Remember, Draymond Green has 6 technical fouls now, one more, and he's suspended for a game. Is there any chance he gets that tonight and Golden State wins? Then he has to sit out game 7. There's a lot of talk about, well, the refs need to swallow the whistles. I've never agreed with that. If it's a foul, it's a foul. Call it. I don't care what time it's at or when in the game or anything else, unless it's my team. And then, of course, I don't want you to call it. But you shouldn't change the way that you call the game just to try to make it to where all the teams are on there. If he commits a foul, if he yells at the refs or chirps off or whatever it is, tee him up. That's what you're supposed to do. That's under the rules. You would any other game, so I think you should now. Toronto does not want this game to lose tonight. They do not want this game to go to game 7 or the series, even though it will be in Toronto for game 7. The way it ended in the last game, in game 5, where they're up by 6 with just over a minute left, huge three-pointers. This is after Durant went down in the second quarter. Huge three-pointers by Curry and Klay Thompson, showing why they were champions in the past. Some big shots. I want to see how Toronto does tonight with that effect, with the, wow, we should have ended it right there in Toronto. Now we have to fly back to Golden State. They're at home. It is the last game in Oracle Arena. They're moving from Oakland as Golden State to San Francisco to a brand new, oh my gosh, arena. So it is the last game tonight in Oracle Arena in, it's probably still going to be called Oracle Arena. It'll just be in Salt Lake or in, San Francisco. I don't know why I said Salt Lake. San Francisco instead of Oakland. So the fans are going to be jazzed. They're going to be wanting to watch. Sure, most of those fans don't live in Oakland. They probably live in San Francisco anyways. But it is going to be emotional. And I think that's the one thing Toronto didn't want. And they can't let this go to Game 7 and give them any kind of advantage when it comes to, hey, it's Game 7, win or die, anybody can win. You give Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and those guys even a glimmer of hope, and they're going to crush you. So I think tonight is the last chance. I don't see Kawhi Leonard coming back after this year. So this is Toronto's last chance to win for a long time, especially win a championship for a long time. Kawhi Leonard's not going to come back. They basically rented him for a year. He's going to move on to whether it be the Clippers. Some say the Lakers. Others say the Knicks or something like that. But they rented him for a year, and that's what it is, which is great. It worked out for them. But it'd be great if they won it at home and everything else. But you want to win it tonight. You want to do it right in front of Golden State's fans. You almost did it last game. They lose tonight. I just can't see them coming back if they lose tonight, winning a game 7, losing 2 in a row, and giving all the momentum over to those guys on the other side. Now, a lot of talk has also been said. I want to mention this real quick. about the fans that were cheering when Kevin Durant went down. It happens. I think there's a handful of bad fans in every single fan base. I've never seen it happen at a Grizzly game. I've never seen it happen at a Bobcat game. Anywhere I've ever gone, I've never seen cheering when a player goes down. There might have been some in the background that I wasn't paying attention to. Normally, the whole stadium goes quiet. They limp off or hopefully not get carted off and walk off. And everyone claps in respect of, hey, sorry that is. Hope you get better. So it was a bad look, them waving goodbye and everything. And Canada's known. Canadians are like the friendliest people in the world. They say sorry and thank you to everything that you've ever done. So it was a bad look, especially from people right around the court. Of course, the camera's going to go straight to those people as it is. That's the media's issue. But hopefully, if it does go a game seven, they show a little more class and couth, because that is never a good look for anybody there. Other NBA news. And again, we said there's not a lot of local stuff, so I'm going to go through a lot of national. Boston Celtics star Kyrie Irving is changing representation to Rock Nation Sports League, sources told ESPN. Irving is parting ways with longtime agent Jeff Welsler on Wednesday, clearing the way for him to ultimately work with Jay-Z's Rock Nation prior to the start of the NBA free agency on June 30th, sources say. Biggest news is that Jay-Z is part owner of the Rock Nation Sports and is also part owner of the Brooklyn Nets. So it really looks like he may be going that way with his free agency decision. With Kevin Durant getting injured, it's one that opens up a lot of free agents, including Anthony Davis, who's technically not a free agent, but he kind of sort of is. He's got 1 year left, so you're kind of renting him kind of like they did Kawhi Leonard. So it'll be interesting where he goes. He's basically said it's going to be either the Lakers or the Celtics. If he goes to anywhere else, he basically told him, you can trade me to any of those teams, but I'm there for 1 year. So don't trade everything in the world away, because I am going to leave there after 1 year no matter what. Kawhi Leonard didn't do that. He's still up in the air about where he wants to go. I think he'll end up leaving Toronto. Kind of depends. If they lose, I think he leaves for sure. If they win, he might stick around for one more year, see if he can get a couple better players there, and maybe try to win it twice. He's a quiet guy. Nobody knows what Kawhi's ever thinking. Anthony Davis, on the other hand, lets everybody know what he's thinking. He's told it on social media. He's came out in news conferences and said, I'm not going to be here. That's just the way it's going to be. Trade me. And wherever you trade me to, if it's not one of two or three teams, I'm gone. He doesn't seem like he's giving New Orleans any kind of option there. So that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But with Durant hurt, he's out for a year with the torn Achilles. Really look at him. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back before the end of even next year. It might be a year and a half. So do you pay him max dollars, which somebody will, just to sit on your bench for a year and you've lost all that revenue going out? College basketball news is the thing that we'll do right before we wrap up and take a break. The three-point line has moved back in college to the international line just for the men's game starting next year. That means that it will be 22 feet instead of 20 foot 9 inches like it was before. I think this is a good move. I think it'll really spread the floor more for the inside guys, kind of moving the three-point line out, moving all those shooters outside a little bit. Brings back more of a power forward / center position that'll be more key to the game, something that's really been lost in this world of we live and die by the threes. You still need an outside shooting, but now bigs down low will have more room to move around, spread the floor out a little bit, get more offensive movement, and it should help players like even Harold Frey, who can hit it from down low. It's basically just a short jumper from him from the new three-point line either. So we'll have to see how that plays out. A lot of these teams that are built with smaller guys might really struggle with this now if they don't have those inside guys. So we'll take a quick break right now, come back and take a look at high school awards and all-star games, plus interview with Dane Fletcher. And a look at the O-line for the Cats. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 on your FM dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Salt and pepper. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. A lot of my songs today, if you haven't noticed, are going to be from that tour that I went to, because basically it was worth it. So you're just going to have to deal with it. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including the NBA Finals and the U.S. Open, going on right now, located at 19 Ty Lane, up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman sports authority. Before we dive into high school action, we had somebody tweet in or text in saying that they are also a nice person. Does that make them Canadian? No, it does not. Even though you say sorry 8,000 times a day, that does not mean you're Canadian. That just means you're sorry. So there you go, Camden. Now you know. Take a look first at Montana All-Star versus Wyoming All-Star Basketball. The first game, there was two games played last week. First game, Montana missed 13 free throws and suffered defensive lapses, both on the perimeter and on the dribble. But in the end, it didn't really matter, as Treasure State didn't allow a basket over the course of nearly 2 minutes to end the game, and Billings Central's Christian Dixon and Shodo's Sayer Patton combined to make four free throws in the final seconds to win 103-100. This is the 15th straight win for the Montana All-Stars. Montana was led by Sayer Patton with 21 points. Blake Thielen, who will play for the Cats next year, with 17, and Caleb Belich had 11. On the girls' first game, it wasn't even close to close. In this one, Montana Lady All-Stars defeated Wyoming 84-66. Ladies were led by Mackenzie Deathman with 14 points. Tyra Manuel had 12 points and 3 forks. Kaylee Olson chipped in 11. In the second game, Montana Boys All-Star team again saw big leads evaporate, but the second straight night hung on to defeat Wyoming, this time by 1 point, 95-94. That was played in the Bruce Hoffman Gold Dome in Sheridan on Saturday. MSU basketball commit, once again, Caleb Belich, came out big with 22 points in the win. Haverfield had 12 points, and Jaden Graham finished with 11. On the girls' side for the second game, it was another lopsided victory for the ladies' Montana All-Star team. And again, it was three-fourths Kylie Olson leading the way. She ended up with 17 points. Tyra Manuel ended up with 15 points, and Shayla Montague ended the night with 12. So congratulations to the boys and girls all-star basketball teams from Montana taking care of Wyoming. It seems like an annual thing. I don't know what's with Wyoming, if they're just terrible at basketball or what, but it seems like Montana definitely has the upper hand on that. On football news, the Badland Bowl rosters were announced, with a couple of Bozeman kids, Bozeman Hawks, making it to the team. Chris Brown from Bozeman High will split QB duties with Blake Thielen, who we mentioned earlier, from Great Falls High. Brown is signed to play QB for the University of Montana, while Thielen is signed to play for the Bobcats. The other Bozeman Hawk to make the team was Justice Perkins at center. This game is scheduled to be played this weekend, June 15th, in Miles City, Montana. Montana won the last year's game 55-7, moving its win streak to four consecutive games. Montana has also won seven of the last eight meetings and holds a 19-6 lead in the series. Now, this one's a little different. This isn't against Wyoming's All-Stars. This is North Dakota's All-Stars. So it's kind of our revenge for the North Dakota State game that we lost in the playoffs last year. Once again, that's Miles City this weekend on the 15th. Check your local listings for times and everything else. And if you're in that area, go check it out. It's a great way to see a lot of players are going to be playing for the Cats or the Grizz, or some players that you look at and say, why aren't they? So it's a great football game to go to, so go check it out. Support the kids. In Great at Everything news, Bozeman earned 406MTSports.com School of the Year honors for the second year in a row by accumulating 34 points total. Missoula Hellgate was second with 20 points. Whitefish finished third. Go Bulldogs with 19. And Billings Central fourth with 17. Billings West rounded out the top five with 16 points. The Hawks scored in 14 of a total 18 sports offered by the MHSA and took top honors in almost half of the sports that they racked up points for along the way. Anchored by wins in girls and boys golf, boys cross country, boys soccer, wrestling, boys basketball, girls tennis, and girls track and field. Whew. The Hawks were also runner-up in girls' cross-country, volleyball, and both boys and girls swimming. Rounded out the trophy hall with a third-place trophy in boys' tennis and a semifinal appearance in football. See, the Hawks will probably get the three-peat next year, as that is their last year, as the domination, I think, will end after that. And then I don't see them being in the top five after next year. With the two teams splitting and all that talent going different ways, when you have the Raptors and the Hawks both, Raptors being just junior, it's going to be very hard, I think, for the Bozeman Hawks to compete for a couple years until they can get it going. But I think they're going to have a couple down years coming up here in the future. Also in We're Good at the Basketball, Manhattan Christian Boys, an unprecedented, third straight title meeting between the same two teams in Arlie and Manhattan Christian. Montana State commit Caleb Belich unloaded for 42-point barrage, more than Arlie's four highest-scoring players combined. They won that game 83-51 big for finally earning the championship breakthrough and ending the 35-year title drought. They were named the 406MTSports.com Boys Team of the Year for 2018 and 19 season. We'll take another quick break right now and come back with an interview with Dame Fletcher from the Pit. Easy for me to say. And a look at MSU's O-line depth once again. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, KGVM.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Get you all the big games, including the NBA Finals and the U.S. Open, starting today. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. I had a chance to interview Dane Fletcher this past week about the Pitt training facility and his upcoming verified high school combine. Unfortunately, the first 4 minutes or so had a ton of connection issues and it faded in and out, and so I had to cut quite a bit of it. So we will start the interview with him talking about the combine itself. Take a listen.
And have some hard numbers to provide to colleges, universities, and kind of get these kids realized or shown to staffs out there to help them progress and get out once they're out of high school, get into their university system.
So who will this help the most if you're looking at the combine and everything else? I know AA kids will be able to go. Do you see AA kids or some not really well-known B or C kids having this be the most advantageous to them?
Yeah, I don't see it just being any class in specific, whether it's C or AA or anything like that. It's everybody, but I think that, you know, it's going to help everybody get on the map. So whether you're from the smallest school in Montana playing, you know, seven-man football, or you're the biggest school in Montana and you're playing 11-man football and you're already somewhat on the big stage, at least now we can get you into larger university systems and kind of getting hard numbers on you. And it doesn't matter whether you're a freshman or coming in as a freshman, if you may, or you're coming up as a senior. It's just nice to get numbers. And even if you're a freshman going in, you're probably not going to be the fastest or strongest. But next year at this time, we can see you progress and see who's really turning on, who's getting better, who's improving. And then come your senior year, then we can really help push you into universities.
Well, and I think another positive to this is Montana isn't known, they should be, but they're not known throughout the Northwest in the area for football talent. There's not a lot of star ratings and all that kind of stuff, which as a Bobcat fan I love because we get the players that nobody else, University of Washington, doesn't see and all that. But do you think it'll help in that case, too, of getting some of these kids that are like, wow, those are some really good numbers that are verified and everything else?
I think so. I think that's the long and short of it, is just getting kids exposed. You know, quite a few years ago now, we ran one of these at another team in town that's no longer there, but who's the linebacker coach for MSU now, Bobby Daly. I helped him run one of these, you know, I don't know if it was 6 years ago or something, but there was a kid from Ennis, Montana, and performed just lights out at this combine one day. Well, Bobby and I used our resources, got him in, got him a scholarship at Montana State, and ended up having a great career. His name's Connor Sullivan, and he just was a senior last year and a stud tight end for him. But without the combine, and he'll kind of attest to it, that it'd be hard for him to get seen, and just because it's hard for coaches to get to these smaller schools and watch them and whatnot. If you have some numbers and you have a 40-yard dash or the bench, and you have some, you know, staff that's willing to put in time and energy into getting your numbers out there, then it's kind of a no-brainer for these kids to get exposed to, you know, how hard they've been working.
Well, and you look at just some of the greats that have come out, yourself, Troy Anderson, Mariani, even a Casey Fitzsimmons out of Chester that ended up playing for Carroll and had a pretty good career with the Lions there for 7 or 8 years. With them, there's a lot of talent that comes out of this state that I don't think a lot of people really see because they just look at star ratings. Well, it's a four-star kid. Well, a lot of four-star kids don't have the work ethic and everything else that some of these other kids do as well. So I think it's great that Montana finally has this. Again, part of me is a little sad because you might see some of these kids that are going to come to the Cats, go to bigger schools, but good for them. I don't want to say that. But do you give, speaking of some of the players, you're going to have Mariani, Troy Anderson, some of those players there at the Combine. Do you give any of those ex-Grizzlies, Brock Coyle and those, a hard time because the Cats are so much better than them now?
Always. Every year now. Every year. You got to.
You have to.
A good relationship with those guys and, you know, and supporting each other and, you know, the guys like Cole Anderson and whatnot. But every year we always have bets, side bets going on the Cat-Grizz game. So it's been a fun little ride for me lately.
Joey Thomas. Sorry, I was just trying to blank there. He was on my show. Couple months ago, and he talked about when he was at Garfield. Now he's with a JC school, I think in Kansas or somewhere down there, or Iowa. But I was talking to him, and he said that when coaches came into his high school, if he knew the Grizzlies were coming, he would make sure to wear Bobcat gear that day, just so they knew that is the team in Montana.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's good to be known, man.
Yeah, it never dies. Bozeman, being a Bobcat, never dies. Thank God.
Exactly.
Going back to your past days, back in the New England Patriots days and all that, what do you miss the most about being a Patriot or being on that football squad?
You know, what I probably miss the most is working as a team for the common purpose of winning and, you know, kind of helping each other get set high goals as a team. And, you know, probably the most that I miss would be the locker room. You can't beat a good locker room. And we had that in New England, and we still stay really close. I mean, a couple of my teammates are coming back out that were with me in New England for this. And next year, especially, this year is a tough time getting a lot of those guys out here. But it's sounding like next year, as long as this thing goes, it's looking so far, we're going to get quite a few more guys out and get, you know, some really good stars out of it. Coming back to Montana, which a lot of them already do between Brady and Elman. I think it'll be pretty cool in the future, and this is kind of the first stepping stone of where this combine is going to go.
Yeah, Brady has that little tiny little shack up at Yellowstone Club,
yeah,
which isn't too bad.
So
speaking of the Patriots, Gronk retired. Did you go to – I know you guys – I believe this is true. You guys lived together your rookie year. Is that correct?
Yeah, we lived together. We both came in as rookies together, and we both lived together for about three and a half years. And then we both grew up, and he moved across the street, so we really grew up a lot there. And still ended up just going to one of our houses every night anyways and hanging out. But yeah, man, I couldn't say enough good things about Gronk and really the whole team, and especially the guys still playing. I mean, just a really class act, straightforward group of guys that we all stay in touch still, like I said, that it's fun. I mean, we still make life fun because in that locker room sometimes it's hard practices, hard watching film all day, and so you got to make light out of a great situation you're in, but a difficult situation you're in too.
Yeah, did you make it then to Gronk's retirement party? And if you did, how long was the hangover?
Yeah, no, I didn't end up making it. we're still dialing away with the expansion of the pit, so I wasn't able to make it out there for that.
Once again, Dane Fletcher is our guest today with the Pit Training Facility here in Bozeman, located at 3717 Equestrian Drive. You can give him a call on the phone at 219-2383 or on the interwebs at thepitbozeman.com. Once again, we're talking about mainly the Pit Verified Combine. Once again, that's Saturday, June 29th at Montana State University. If you need any information, give the Pit a call or go on their website. Registration is that day at 8 o'clock. Event starts at 9. So coming out of high school then, your father, who our family has known forever in the businesses with the cannery and everything else, he said you were probably a better hockey goalie than you really were a football player. Were you ever close to going to hockey?
Yeah, I was really close going to hockey. You know, I think it's a good life lesson, and I tell a lot of kids this, to play multiple sports and do as much as you can because it's easy to get burnt out. And I never thought I would be a kid that got burnt out because I just lived and died by playing hockey. And come my senior year, I was just fatigued, burnt out of hockey 100%, and I didn't even want to put skates on. And I fell back on a sport I still enjoyed and started taking football a lot more serious my senior year, and luckily ended up getting some looks and ended up kind of going that route with football. And, it ended up being a pretty good cast for me.
So now you're all, like you said earlier in the Gronk part, you're all grown up. Have a wife and twins.
Yeah.
Have the twins started working out yet?
Yeah, they're 9 months old now, so we end up doing squats and push-ups every morning. Just really progressing them slowly here.
Perfect.
No, but I'm really doing. I am enjoying fatherhood and enjoying every day and moment I got with those guys. And it's pretty cool watching them just grow right in front of my eyes and start to almost walk around now. I mean, it is something pretty special to have.
Well, and again, you grew up here in Bozeman. Your dad owns, your family owns the cannery and Burger Bob's. Did that help at all growing up in an environment where your dad was an owner, learning how to run a business and own that? Did that help you at all going into the pit?
You know what it helped me with? It really helped me in general in life, just realizing that if you can think for yourself and you can think outside the box and you're willing to put in the work every single day, because there's not days where you can just turn off and not work and come to work and anything like that, it showed me as a kid that dedication really pays off. And my dad was always that role model for me and would always go into work, whether it was a Saturday, Sunday morning. He was up early, dealt with things around the house, and then he would be in at work, half the time before anybody else is awake. And he did that, for his family, and that hard work definitely pays off. And so I've always admired my dad and looked up to him and kind of wanted to go on my own path. So I was always really stubborn and refused to end up, just taking over anything that he's done. And so I wanted to go my own path. And luckily I worked hard to get to the NFL and it provided me a means to, purchasing my own building and kind of going that route. And then also working for what I truly believe in and helping the community and helping, not only the youth, but adults figure out their own bodies and figure out what's right for them working out and creating an environment that's fun, yet challenging for adults. And it's been one hell of a ride watching this community just kind of rise up around me and our staff. And it's been nothing but, fun behind the hard work.
I have my son, who is going to be in eighth grade at CJ, has a bunch of his friends all go to the pit pretty much after school. They walk over because you guys are right by there and work out. Yeah. And all of the parents and everyone just rave about it. They say how great it is. What age is is kind of the limit of when they can start over at the pit?
Yeah, so we usually just start, rarely have camps all summer, which kind of, it's for younger kids and everything like that at different times, but we usually start kids about sixth grade.
Okay.
I think that's kind of the right age for what we want to take on. We're not babysitting necessarily, but also where we can really start progressing them, not only with weights, because we're not going to just throw weights on kids without them being ready for it, but progress them in the right manner with weights and teaching them how to move then with that new strength that we've put on them. So it's been really cool. Like you said, a lot of those kids are walking over. A lot of kids are driving over from other surrounding middle schools. And watching kids come in day one compared to where they end up, you know, a year from now has been unbelievable, not only for me, but our staff. And we put a lot of time and energy into it, not just the program, but creating the atmosphere that is acceptable to us. And the kids really are taking it on well and working hard for us. And it's fun to watch.
Well, it's a great thing to have here in the Valley as Bozeman grows and booms. It's kind of the Jackson Hole of the North, it seems, nowadays. It is definitely something that was needed in the past, and it's really good that we have that. I think everybody is proud of you for having that and bringing that back to the community, not doing it in Boston or somewhere like that. It really is kind of a beacon here in Bozeman for people. So we all thank you for that. Once again, the PIP Verified Combine, Saturday, June 29th at Montana State University. Registration is at 8 a.m. Event starts at 9 a.m. You get some swag bag and some goodies if you go as well. I was a drama kid, so I have no idea about locker rooms or any of that kind of thing. Like I got snapped with towels.
Well, there's plenty of drama in that locker room, too.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I know that my younger brother playing through high school and a little bit in college as well. So I don't think I missed too much of the drama there. Wrap up the conversation. Some quick rapid-fire questions we ask every single guest that we have on. First one, do you consider a hot dog to be a sandwich?
What was that?
Do you consider a hot dog to be a sandwich? Is it a sandwich?
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay, should an adult drink milk?
No. Depending on which kind of milk, like cow milk?
Yeah, like skim milk or something like that, whole milk.
Yep. Nope.
All right, and the last one, your go-to drink.
Well, at night, after dealing with a long day with the kids, or is this like...
Yes, nope, at night, like an IPA or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is that a real question? Are we including alcohol in this?
Yes, we are. I think Tom DeMaco said scotch. Joey Thomas said beer, and I think Wes Holmquist said whiskey coke or something like that.
Yeah, nice. I like kind of like an old fashioned, so on the whiskey end of things, maybe like a Maker's old fashioned.
Very nice. Well, good luck with the kids. Good luck with the pit. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Once again, congratulations with all the success, and hopefully we can maybe speak to you again around football season.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks. That was Dane Fletcher earlier this week. Again, some technical issues with phone connections and everything else. Cell phones are an amazing thing at times and not the greatest thing at others. We're going to take a very, very quick break, come back with a look at the O-line for the Cats. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, thank you very much to Dane Fletcher for coming on the show earlier and dealing with the phone issues that we had. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games, including the NBA Finals, U.S. Open. Located at 19 Ty Lane on MSU's campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. Let's take a quick, very brief look. We've only got about 3 minutes left in the show at the O-line for the Cats as it continues through the different groups every week. We talked about the running backs and the wide receivers a couple weeks ago, but it all starts up front, and the Cats have a very good front line. Lots of returning talent, including Mitch Brott, starting tackle from Billings West at 6'6", 290. Tyler Tuiasosopo, starting at guard from Lancaster, California, is 6'4", 314. I also sold him a bed once. He actually fits in a bed that I slept in. So there you go. Zach Redd, starting guard from Meridian, Idaho at 6'1", 275. Lewis Kidd is a tackle/O-line. Moved around some last year. He's from Fridley, Minnesota. He's 6'6", 290. And, of course, one of the big stars is Connor Wood, center slash guard from Meridian, Idaho as well, 6'5", 276. This should be a really solid group for the Cats, barring injuries. They obviously know how to run block, but can they translate that over and transfer that to a balanced O system? The Cats seemingly going to more of a balanced run-pass game next year. Will they still be heavy run? I think the Cats will be with Fonse, Jones, Johnson, and then you throw Troy Anderson in there every once in a while in the backfield. But the O-line hasn't really had to work much at pass blocking and those schemes in the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting if the Cats can stay healthy and gel as a pass blocking crew. The offense, I think, will be really, really sharp in next year. Everyone talks about the QB situation with the Cats, but I think next season will really rest on if these huge on these guys' huge shoulders. If these huge guys and the Cats can get the O-line blocking for them, it'll be great. Is it glamorous? No. Is it important? It's probably one of the most important things out there right now. You can just ask the Detroit Lions all about how important it is to have a starting line. So if the offensive line can gel, if they can get together as a team, if they can pass block well and get better as the season goes on, I really think next year could be a very, very special year for the Cats. That'll wrap it up for our show this week. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, we'll be back next week. We have Costello in the line. We've got J.B. Robinson on the line. We've got a bunch of guests hopefully coming up. We'll get that ironed out before the next show. But thank you very much for listening. Have a lovely weekend. And as always, go Cats.